Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, it's Donna Marie Doherty with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a security alert in Derry remains ongoing after a suspicious object was found this afternoon on the Skeg Link Road. Gardaí tended to the scene of a crash last night in which a man was hospitalised in Donegal Town. A report has been made to Gardaí following the circulation of a video of a car diffing in Muff last night. And the launch of a new swimming strategy by government is the opportune time to get the new Buncrana Leisure Centre over the line. These stories in full, plus more to follow. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport and Chris Ashmore will have all the farming news and views up after the obituary notices. First in news. A security alert in Derry remains ongoing after a suspicious object was found this afternoon on the Skeg Link Road. Motorists and pedestrians are asked to seek alternative routes. It's believed traffic delays will be experienced by residents in the area. A number of cordons and diversions are in place as police deal with the incident. PSNI say a further update will be provided in due course. Gardaí tended the scene of a crash last night in which a man was hospitalised. The two-vehicle collision happened on the N15 at around 9 p.m. in Donegal Town. The man in his 40s was transferred to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment to injuries sustained, and Gardaí say the investigation is ongoing. A report has been made to Gardaí following the circulation of a video of a car diffing in Muff last night. The post on social media sparked outrage, showing a motorist speeding through the village while other cars are queued up and performing donuts at a junction before driving off towards Coolmore. It comes at a time when traffic management is in place in the area due to ongoing roadworks. Councillor Terry Crossan says it's not the first incident of its kind and people are being left traumatised.
I've been getting numerous complaints throughout the summer of incidents, maybe not quite in an urban area, but in various housing estates throughout Inishowen. And people are traumatised because they hear these cars and they hear the brakes and the screaming of the wheels and all of that there. And it's just totally, totally unacceptable. And I would urge the Gardaí, where possible, if they can identify these individuals, to bring them to book.
In this instance, the car has driven in the direction of Coolmore. We can't make any presumptions, but presumably the Gardaí and the PSNI will be liaising, and you'd certainly hope that registration numbers will be shared and details will be shared as well.
The incident in Bridge End that I alluded to earlier on, the car was obviously, it was a Northern registered car, and as I said, I passed on the colour, make and model and registration of that car to Gardaí, so hopefully there will be some interaction with the PSNI to try to identify the driver of that car or owner of it.
The government is hoping to build on the success of Ireland's swimmers at the Olympic Games. A national swimming strategy has been published for the first time today. Its key focus is on providing improved facilities and coaching supports, with €500,000 being set aside for local swimming activators to promote the sport. Sport Minister Thomas Byrne accepts that the cost of swimming lessons means some people are excluded.
That is one of the issues with swimming. There's no doubt about it. Swimming pools in general cost a lot of money. They cost a lot of money to build. They cost a lot of money to run. And one of the recommendations and the actions in the strategy is to explore further funding streams, such as under the Dormant Accounts Fund, to specifically target minority and disadvantaged groups.
Well, the Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, says the new strategy is an ideal time to get the new Buncrana Leisure Centre over the line.
I'm delighted to see that the government is launching a swimming strategy in recognition of the fantastic success of Daniel Wiffen and Mona McSherry in the Olympics. But When I heard this, I thought there could be no more genuine promotion of swimming than to grant the funding for Buncrana Leisure Centre. We currently have Donegal County Council's application sitting on Minister of State Thomas Byrne's desk for assessment. We expect the results of that in autumn. So if this government is sincerely genuine and not doing any kind of tokenistic gestures, then they will move forward and approve this application and bring back a swimming pool into Inishowen and deliver a state-of-the-art high spec facility that the people of this community have been waiting on for so long.
And given the go-ahead for the Buncrana Leisure Centre would be a no-brainer in line with this strategy, as the plans are there and it's ready to go.
Yeah, and this is a shovel-ready plan. We've done a huge amount of work within the council. We've got planning permission in place. The designs have been done, and like I have to say, it looks absolutely fantastic. This is completely different to the leisure centre we would have known. It's going to be brand new, high spec. It'll come as the slide and flume for children to enjoy, and it'll be something that generations of swimmers in Inishowen will benefit, and tourists alike. So I think it's a no-brainer to approve this funding. So I'm delighted to see that they're launching the strategy, and I hope that that'll move on and we will see in the autumn Buncrana Leisure Centre getting the approval that we've been waiting for, the funding approval, and we can move on at the end of this year, start of next year, get diggers on the ground and finally bring an end to this wait and get the leisure centre we so badly need.
A Donegal businessman has labelled a letter to the Irish Times complaining about an experience by a visitor to the county as petty. The correspondence appeared in the paper in recent days, in which the writer outlined how on a visit to Donegal he received woeful coffees, second-rate food and had to listen to pop music during a visit to one cafe. Former councillor Johnny McGuinness, who's the proprietor of McGuinness's Bar, told the 19 Noon Show this morning that the man expressing his dissatisfaction through a national paper wasn't the appropriate action.
There's some points in there to be listened to and to be digested, but no pun intended. This is more of a storm in a teacup, in my opinion. I think the gentleman in question would have been better placed just bringing his lack of enjoyment to the attention of the management and asking for either the items to be removed from the bill or just maybe a talk with the manager in general. You'll get much more better rewards for your actions from that type of action than writing a letter to the Irish Times or wherever it went to. I don't think it's the right way to go about resolving such a petty complaint, really, to be honest with you.
Donegal beachgoers are told to be aware of an influx of mauve stinger jellyfish onto Machree Beach. Enid and Wakara have issued the warning, citing heavy seas as the reason for the increase. A spokesperson says the jellyfish can produce a very painful sting, and so far it's known that one person has been stung. Those planning on visiting the beach should exercise caution, as these sea creatures are small and hard to see, and they also pose a risk to dogs. It's been confirmed RTE's Director of Content, Jim Jennings, will leave the broadcaster on August 31st. Staff were updated this morning by the Director General, Kevin Backhurst. He said an agreement on the team's departure was reached with the support of the Work Relations Commission. Under the WRC process, the terms of any settlement are not published. Searches have been carried out today in Strabane and Derry as part of an ongoing investigation into dissident Republican activity. Detectives from the Police Services Terrorism Investigation Unit conducted searches at two addresses in Strabane and Lettershundui areas this morning. A number of items have been seized and taken away for further examination, and police confirmed that no arrests have been made, but inquiries are ongoing. Schools will find out more details in the next few weeks about plans for a phone ban in secondary schools. The Education Minister has confirmed she wants to look at a ban in post-primary for the entire school day, including during lunch breaks. It's understood Norma Foley will now write to schools to give advice on how this would work. Former Education Minister Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh, while welcoming the steps to ban phones, says children and adults need to be educated on the dangers of the devices.
I welcome it, but I think most schools and most principals listening to this news this morning will point to their own efforts in terms of introducing their own policy around this. Like most schools, even my own children who go to secondary school, they talk about the fact that their phone goes into the locker in the morning and they don't get it till the evening. So a lot of schools have already done this. But look, anything to raise the awareness is good, and any new policy measures is good in relation to the phone. But I think what needs to go hand in glove with any decision around the phone is is to look at the overall usage of phone, and not just young people, but also adults. And I think we as adults have to check our own mobile phone habits as well, because look, young people will pick up the habits of older people as well, be it their parents or older teenagers in the house as well. So I think this conversation is important, but it's about trying to develop a deeper understanding about the harms of phone usage, but also the science behind, you know, even take, for example, sleep. If there's too much Blu-ray focus just before you go to bed at night, you're not going to get a good night's sleep. So I think we really have to look at, you know, the science of things such as sleep, and the importance of sleep, and the importance of sleep to not just old people, but also to young people as well.
The HSE has confirmed that a GP has successfully been recruited for Ardragh. Dr. Charles McManus will take up the position at Ardragh Health Centre tomorrow. The surgery will be closed tomorrow to facilitate the transfer from Dr. Morell Sweeney, who's retiring today, and Dr. McManus. Services which can be contacted in the case of an acute medical emergency are available on our website. The HSE's also advised there will be no changes to the current service arrangements for patients in Lettermack Ward. A top World Health Organization official insists Mpox is not another COVID situation, with the need for lockdowns and masks after it was declared a global emergency last week. Some countries in Europe are preparing for possible cases. It spread through close contact and first presents as flu-like symptoms before a rash develops. Dr. Hans Kluge, the WHO's Regional Director for Europe, speaks now.
The 1B is a new strain. There are many unknowns on transmissibility. There's some limited number of studies, for example, which show you can be asymptomatic, but this is, for the time being, very, very limited. Also, on the mortality studies are ongoing.
The time is now 12 minutes past five. We're going to go to a short break, and Mark Gallagher will be back with all the latest in sport. It's just gone 5:15 here on Highland Radio. Mark Gallagher has all the latest in sport.
Thanks, Anna Marie. Good evening. We're going to begin with soccer, and it's a huge night for two League of Ireland clubs in Europe. Shamrock Rovers are in Greece for the first leg of their Europa League playoff with PAOK. Hoops boss Stephen Bradley knows it will be a tough test against the Greek champions.
They're a top team, but you don't expect anything different at this level of competition and this stage of the competition. So, like I said before, we've faced really good teams in the past, even this year with Sparta, and these no doubt will be as good as what we've played. So, but this is where you want to be. You want to be testing yourself against this level.
That kicks off at 6:30 Irish time. Later, St. Patrick's Athletic take on Istanbul Başakşehir in Conference League playoff at Talas Stadium. Saints boss Stephen Kenny says a victory in the tie would be a monumental achievement.
They won the Turkish League a couple of years ago, and they beat Manchester United in the Champions League. So they were in the Champions League group stage. They beat Manchester United, amongst others. So they've had some good results. So for us to beat them over two legs, we'll have to absolutely play the performance of our lives.
Kickoff in Tala is at 7:45. Elsewhere in the Europa League tonight, Hearts play Pilsen in the Czech Republic. In the Conference League, Chelsea welcome Servette to Stamford Bridge. Larne face the Lincoln Red Imps in Gibraltar, and Kilmarnock are away to FC Copenhagen. In local action, the 11-a-side Community Soccer Festival comes to an end tonight. Aileach will take on Illies Celtic in the final at 7:30 in the Letterkenny Community Centre. Finn Harps have confirmed the departure of Stephen Doherty from Finn Park due to work and travel commitments. The Inishowen man made 19 league appearances this season for Darren Murphy's side. Moving on to golf, Leona Maguire is 2 over par with 7 holes to play on day 1 at the Women's Open. Lauren Walsh is 2 over par as well. Stephanie Meadow is 5 over, also with 7 remaining. China's Ronning Yin is the clubhouse leader at St Andrews on 4 under par. Shane Lowry and Rory McIlroy both tee off just after 6 p.m. at the BMW Championship, the latest stop on the FedEx playoffs. Gary Hurley's currently 3 shots off the lead on 3 under par with 7 holes to play of his Danish Open first round. Tom McKibben is 2 over with 3 to play. Home favourite Rasmus Højgaard holds the clubhouse lead there on 6 under par. Moving on to Gaelic games, the minor All-County League Division 1 football final between Naoimh Colin Kill and Naoimh Connell will be played this evening. That game is at the Donegal GAA Centre in Convoy at 7 p.m. In hurling, it's semi-final night in the minor championship. Setanta take on Carindona at 7.15. And there's a half-seven throw-in for the other semi-final between Sean McCools and Burt. Meanwhile, six Donegal footballers and one hurler have been nominated for the 2024 Irish News All-Star Awards. The football nominees are Buncrana's Caelan McGonigal, Michael Langan of St Michael's, Niall O'Donnell of St Eunan's, Oisin Gallen of McCools, and the St Noel's pairing of Pater Mogan and Brendan McCall. Setanta's Stephen McBride is the sole hurling nominee. The winners, which will be chosen by a combination of a public vote and an expert panel, will be unveiled in Belfast on the 27th of September. Moving on to cycling, Ben O'Connor is the new leader of the Vuelta Hispana following victory on today's sixth stage. Ireland's Eddie Dunbar is up five places on general classification, but his gap to the leader's red jersey has more than doubled. In athletics, Letterkenny AC athletes Katrina Jennings and Kieran McGonigal will represent Ireland at the 2024 100km World Championships, which will take place in India in December. Katrina finished third in the last 100km World Championships back in 2022 and claimed gold in the Masters race while setting a new Irish national record and age group world best performance. Kieran, having stepped into the 100km distance recently, has represented Ireland in the Anglo-Celtic Plate 2023 and 2024 and has reset the Irish national record on both occasions with a best time of 6 hours, 50 minutes and 28 seconds. Just staying with athletics, women's 400m silver medalist Selma Eid Nasir was allowed to compete at the recent Olympic Games despite Bahrain breaking anti-doping rules. The Athletics Integrity Unit charged Bahrain with negligence and recklessness in how it conducted itself regards doping. Two Bahraini athletes were found to have undergone blood transfusions at the Tokyo Games, while they also employed a coach that was banned for anti-doping violations. Nasir, of course, took silver in the 400m race where Rashida Adeleke had to settle for fourth. And finally this week on The Score, former Finn Harps player Anthony Gorman joins us for our weekly League of Ireland chat ahead of tomorrow night's fixtures for Finn Harps and Derry City. Dermot O'Brien looks forward to the start of the Inishowen Football League season. And Neil Martin is off to Peru as he heads up the Irish team to compete at the World Under 20 Athletics Championships. That's on The Score after the 7 p.m. news this evening. Back to you, Donal Murray.
Thanks, Mark. Having a look now to weather, it'll be cloudy this evening with outbreaks of rain spreading from the southwest. Moderate to fresh and gusty west to southwesterly winds will back southerly later and decrease light to moderate. The rain will become more widespread for a time tonight with some heavy falls possible, and that rain will gradually clear away to the east towards dawn. Lowest temperatures of 9 to 12 degrees. To conclude this evening's news, a security alert in Derry remains ongoing after a suspicious object was found this afternoon on the Skeg Link Road. Motorists and pedestrians are asked to seek alternative routes, and it's believed traffic delays will be experienced by residents in the area. Gardaí tended to the scene of a crash last night in which a man was hospitalised. The two-vehicle collision happened on the N15 at around 9 p.m. in Donegal Town. A report has been made to Gardaí following the circulation of a video of a car diffing in Muff last night. The post on social media has sparked outrage, showing a motorist speeding through the village while other cars are queued up and performing donuts at a junction before driving off towards Coolmore. And finally, the government is hoping to build on the success of Ireland's swimmers at the Olympic Games. A national swimming strategy has been published for the first time today. Cathaoirleach of the Inishowen Municipal District Councillor Jack Murray says the new strategy is an ideal opportunity to get the new Buncrana Leisure Centre over the line. That's all for now from Highland Radio News. We'll be back with more headlines at 6 o'clock. Chris Ashmore has all the latest farming news and views up after the obituary notices. The obituary notices this Thursday evening, August 22nd. The death has occurred of Sean Marley, 6 Chapel Close, Drenorler. Remains are reposing at his late residence this evening from 7 o'clock. Funeral leaving from his late residence on Saturday at 10:30 in the morning for Requiem Mass in the Church of Mary Immaculate, Drenorler at 11 a.m. Interment afterwards in Drumbo Cemetery. The Requiem Mass will be streamed live on churchservices.tv, family time from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Anne Nancy Heron on the 8th of July, St. Louis, Missouri, USA, and formerly of Ardrois. Burial of her ashes will take place on Saturday at 3 o'clock in the family plot in the Church of the Holy Family Graveyard, Ardrois. In lieu of flowers, contributions in memory of Anne Heron to the American Parkinson's Disease Association may be made in care of any family member. The death has taken place of Rita Vaughan née Faulkner, 12 Minashesk Place, Strabane, reposing at her home today from 6 o'clock until 9 o'clock and tomorrow from 12 noon until 9 p.m. Funeral leaving her home on Saturday afternoon at 1:45 p.m. for Requiem Mass in St. Mary's Church, Melmont at 2:30, interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private pleas on the morning of the funeral. The Requiem Mass can be viewed live via the parish webcam. The death has taken place of Mary Isabel Betty Vance, Brindley Manor Convoy. A funeral service will take place tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock in Ballylennon Presbyterian Church, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if wished, in lieu of flowers, to Guide Dogs for the Blind, care of Unit 1718 Herons Road, Belfast. The death has taken place of Nell McCafferty, formerly of 8 Beechwood Street, Derry. Nell's remains are reposing at her sister's Carmel's residence, 43 Belmont Crescent. Funeral leaving from there tomorrow morning at 11:45 for 12:30 Requiem Mass in St. Columbus Church Long Tower. A private cremation will take place afterwards in Lakelands Crematorium, County Cavan. The wake house will be private from 10 o'clock. Nell's Requiem Mass will be streamed live via the parish webcam. No flowers, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to the Foyle Hospice, care of the immediate family, or Mr. Kieran Connor, McClafferty Funeral Directors. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of Farming News and Views here on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore.
The Irish National Sheepdog Trials are taking place in Clonmany and continue tomorrow and on Saturday. The trials, organised by a voluntary Donegal committee comprised of members of the International Sheepdog Society, provides a unique opportunity for families and visitors to witness the incredible partnership between handler and dog, showcasing their abilities in a series of challenging tasks. Well, tomorrow's trials get underway at 7:30, and then at 7 in the morning on Saturday. The entrance cost is €10 for a day pass, with admittance for children being absolutely free. Well, to find out more, James McGee, the chair of the Donegal Committee of the International Sheepdog Society, has been telling me more.
I suppose it's an honour for Donegal to host it again. I think Clonmany hosted the event 2 times previously. I think 1979 was the last time it was in Clonmany. So you have 150 dogs and competitors from all over Ireland, the 32 counties. So it's a pretty big deal.
Yeah, and at stake is, essentially it's a chance to represent Ireland at the International Sheepdog Trials, and they take place in Scotland in September.
That's correct, yeah. The top 15 over the 3 days go forward to represent Ireland at international level. As you say, it's been held in Scotland. So it's actually 5 per day that qualify to make up the 15.
Yeah. And what is the format? How does it all work?
The actual course itself is what we call an outrun. So you've about a 400-yard outrun. So the dog can either run out left-handed or right-handed for the sheep. There's 20 points available for the outrun. The dog arrives behind the sheep, and then as it starts to come forward to bring the sheep on a direct line towards the handler, that's called the lift, there's 10 points available for that. So the object is to bring the sheep in as straight a line as possible from where the dog lifts them to the handler, and there's a set of fetch gates in the middle of that that they have to negotiate. As I say, it's a straight line. Then you have like a triangular drive where you turn the sheep around the handler, and it can either be right or left-handed again on the drive. But there's a set of drive gates which are about 150 yards away from the handler. They have to negotiate them again in a straight line, turn them around those on what is called the cross drive to a second set of drive gates, which are about another 150 yards across. So they have to go through the centre of that again and then turn back towards the shedding ring where the handler is. And the shedding ring is a ring 40 yards in diameter. There will be five sheep in the group. Two of them will have red collars on, three without. When they come into the shedding ring, the handler has to negotiate taking two of the sheep without the collars off. It's what's called the shed. So the dog has to come through and, you know, be in charge of those two sheep as if you're taking them somewhere. Once that's complete, you put your sheep back together again, and then there's a pen, 8 foot by 9 foot. The five sheep have to be put into the pen, taken kind of in a line from the shedding ring to the pen. And it's desirable if they kind of go straight into the pen without kind of trying to go down the side of it, around the back of it, things like that. So you'll gain maximum points for making it perfect, basically. There's one more element. Once the pen is complete, then you have the single. So the two, put the sheep back into the shedding ring in the five sheep, and you have the two with the collars. One of those has to be taken off from the five, and the dog take control of it and show that it's in control. And once you have all that done, your course is complete, and there's an allocation of 15 minutes time for it. It will be judged by two judges, the whole trial.
So a huge amount of skill involved. In terms of the age of the dogs, you know, what would they typically be?
Probably, typically, I would say maybe 4 to 5 years old. Like, it can range from maybe a little over a year old to maybe 11 years, you know, that type of thing, probably 10. But probably, I would say, if you average it out, it's on around maybe the five plus years old, I would say, most of the dogs.
And I see that the International Sheepdog Society, well, they register thousands of Border Collie pups every year. And from a Donegal perspective, Donegal has done pretty well over the years.
Yeah, Donegal's a hot spot, I suppose, for sheepdog trial in this last number of years. I got involved in it, I suppose, about 21 years ago now. And I've kind of... I suppose it's kind of taken over my life, to be honest, but that's something I really enjoy. There's a great deal of satisfaction to be had, you know, training a dog and going out and watching it work. It's kind of majestical, I suppose you could say, maybe, if it's done right. It's kind of maybe like a lot of sports, you know, there's a fairly strong following to it, if you know what I mean, and I suppose you have to be involved and the circle to kind of know when trials and that take place. But like almost every weekend over the summer, there's trials. You know, there could be maybe a number of trials, 4 to 5 trials every weekend, kind of somewhere throughout Ireland.
And both tomorrow and Saturday at Clonmany, it's a great event for people to come along and watch, and hopefully you'll get some good crowds and that the weather will hold as well.
Yeah, fingers crossed. The weather will kind of, I suppose, make it or break it for the spectator point of view. A special thank you to our sponsors, SSE Renewables, and our local councillors and Donegal County Councillor for supporting this event, plus all the local businesses throughout Donegal that have kindly got behind our event. And all the local handlers in that and Donegal that has put the shoulder to the wheel to make this happen. Thank you all very much.
And that was James McGee, Chair of the Donegal Committee of the International Sheepdog Society. In other news, well done to everyone who turned out and supported in any way the recent IFA social evening in aid of Donegal Hospice, which was held on the Porter Farm in Castlefin. The total amount raised was €7,680.75. And a reminder that tickets are still on sale for Mark and Orla Neely's Townie Tractor Run and Family Barn Dance in Kilmacrenan on Saturday, August the 31st. The big raffle sees a valuable vintage Massey Ferguson 135, which will be raffled in order to raise much-needed funds for Donegal Hospice. All proceeds after expenses will go directly to the Donegal Hospice. And the Sustainable Grassland Farmer of the Year competition for 2024 is now open for entries. This is the eighth year of the competition, and the organisers are looking for grassland farmers who are growing and utilising high levels of grass in a sustainable way. For 2024, the competition has a number of categories with an overall prize fund of €35,000. Seven prizes will be awarded. The enterprise category awards are dairy and dry stock, and the other category awards are nutrition management and use efficiency, clover, organic farming and young farmer. Now, the young farmer category is for those under 30 and can include entrants that are farm managers or farming in a collaborative arrangement. Well, each category winner will receive €5,000. And if you want to apply, go to the Chagas website for more details on that. The closing date for entries is the 6th of September. And the Sustainable Grassland Farmer of the Year competition is supported by the Department of Agriculture, Chagas, AIB, FBD, Grassland Agro and the Irish Farmers Journal. And it's run as part of the Grass 10 campaign. Launching the competition, Minister for Agriculture, Food and the Marine, Charlie McConnell-Logue, pointed out that grass is a valuable asset that gives our farmers a natural advantage over our international counterparts. Well, that's it for this week's edition of Farming News and Views. As always, many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore, goodbye.